Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender coming to you from a torrential downpour here in South Florida. On Friday, I introduced you to a man named Morgan Weaver, who lives in Dover, Ohio. When I was in Canton, Ohio last week, my sister and I visited him. He's a handicapped man. He was in a terrible accident, a bicycle accident, when he was a teenager. He's restricted to a wheelchair. Now he has a difficult time speaking, quite immobile, but God has given him a large amount of faith to believe the truth. And it is a miraculous thing when God gives someone faith to believe the truth, because the world is saturated with lies, with misinformation. These lies come from our adversary, who has made lies very popular. It is easy to believe lies. It is difficult to believe truth. Thus, it takes the Spirit of God to cause someone to recognize truth. And Morgan Weaver does that. Doesn't Paul say concerning these last days that people will love deception, generally speaking? That even that small group of people who believed Paul, that group was eventually infiltrated by a majority who loved the law, who loved to boast in their personal faith, in their accomplishment. As Mark Twain once famously said, I'm paraphrasing him, the error will have gone twice around the earth while the truth is still tying its shoes. Truth is a rare commodity. It's here. It's in the world. It's being proclaimed. But few are finding it, because it takes a dose of Spirit, and God is giving Spirit to so few people today. Now, I mentioned on Friday that our friend Morgan Weaver, a member of the body of Christ, because of the faith God has given him to hear and heed the truth. This man has an aide. Morgan Weaver has an aide that helps him in the evening. I believe this aide is a male. And this guy told Morgan that he shouldn't listen to Zender. Why are you listening to this Martin Zender guy? Because he only has a few views on YouTube. Morgan, you should watch someone who's popular, who's accepted, who has the ear of millions of people. As though numbers is an indicator of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, in a day characterized as a day of apostasy, which Paul characterizes this day as a day of apostasy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in days of apostasy. Apostasy means falling away. Apostasy means leaving your first love, which is the truth. The truth. We want the truth. And the majority doesn't like truth, because the majority wants its hearing tickled. And what human beings generally like to hear is that they have personal power. They have personal authority. And that God helps them be everything that they can be. This is a message that is propounded upon by feel-good preachers, by prosperity preachers such as Joel Osteen. The whole Pentecostal movement wants you to feel good, wants you to feel energized, and you can use Jesus Christ for this end. Jesus Christ is a help. And to Joel Osteen, Jesus Christ is a help to make you everything that you can be. But the lovers of truth don't care about personal satisfaction, personal gratification, personal extolling. They want the truth. Now, to this aide, I want to say this. I want you to watch me right now. I want, Morgan, I'm instructing you to play this video for your aide. And I know that your computer screen, your computer monitor is 10 feet by 5 feet. It's almost like a movie theater screen. I was at Morgan Weaver's room, and again, his computer screen takes up half the room. So here I am, larger than life, sir. I don't know you. I have nothing against you except this. Apparently, sir, the first thing you do when you see a video of someone speaking about God is you look at the number of views that that person has, that that man or woman speaking about God has. And apparently there's some kind of line in your mind where if someone has fewer views than whatever arbitrary line you have decided makes a person worth listening to, if a person has fewer views, then that person shouldn't be listened to. But if a person has more views than your arbitrary line, then that person has truth. That person is worth listening to because they have whatever, they have more than whatever your arbitrary line might be. Maybe it's 10,000 views. Maybe it's 100,000 views. Maybe it's 1 million views. Maybe you don't recommend Morgan listen to any spokesperson of God unless that person has more than 1 million views. I say this to you today, sir, I don't even know you, but let me give you some advice. Instead of looking at the view number, listen to what the person is saying. You're looking at the number of views, and you're deciding from an arbitrary number, something that you've decided is unacceptable, you're making that the test of whether that person should be listened to. And I say that you are making a serious mistake. And if you continue along this course, you will hear nothing but lies. And you will never hear the truth. Because the truth today, as the truth yesterday, as the truth in Jesus' day, in the days of Moses, in the days of Abraham, the truth is embraced, is listened to and embraced by very few. I'm telling you that you shouldn't make numbers the number of views the deciding factor at all. But if you were to do that, my suggestion would be to only look at people who have a few views. To reject people that have over 1 million views, if that's your arbitrary line for truth bringers. Because you will have a much better chance, sir, of getting the truth with someone who has 100 views than you are with someone who has 10 million views. I wouldn't use numbers at all, but if you're going to use them, go for the small views. When I see someone with 10 views who has a poor way of speaking, I am careful to pay special attention because I understand, and I'm trying to introduce this to you, my friend, I understand the scriptural precedent. And the scriptural precedent, no matter what era you look at in the Bible, you will find that it is the majority who are always wrong. I am suspect of videos, on the other hand, I'm suspect of videos by people that who have a million views. So I'm the opposite of you. I tend to make judgments on that. The opposite. I tend to poorly judge those who have 1 million views and to look favorably upon those who have 10 views. Yes, I said 10. But I'm not saying this is right either. What I should do is listen to them, and I do. And without fail, I find that the megastars, the superstars of so-called evangelism are full of crap. They have feel-good messages. They squirt milk at you. They coddle you. They pet you. They tell you everything they want, they think you want to hear. And they're usually right. People want to hear how they are the center of their own world, the center of their own universe, and how God and Christ exist to make their life better. As an adjunct, Christ is an adjunct to my life. The old God is my co-pilot line. I listen to them, and I find without fail that they are full of crap. It doesn't mean that the people who have 10 views are not full of crap. I'm just talking about the law of averages. The law of percentages will say, based on scriptural precedent, that the minority are right and that somebody with 10 views has much more chance of being right than the person with 1 million views. However, I will still listen. And that's what I'm exhorting you to do. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to me extolling a Savior, Jesus Christ, who succeeded in rescuing the human race from sin and death as he promised to do. Listen to me extolling a God who's so powerful that he's in control of the entire world. Listen to me extolling a God who says that flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God, and that we need to look outside of ourselves, our will, our power, in order to find salvation. Let me give you an example in Scripture of what I'm talking about. Classic verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. This is Jesus Christ speaking, the Son of God. Enter through the cramped gate, for broad is the gate, and spacious is the way which is leading away into destruction. And many, I emphasize the word many, many are those entering through it. So, my friend, the aid of Morgan Weaver, I appreciate all the work you're doing for Morgan. I think your work is important. It's humble work. It's not extolled, but it is noble and honorable, and I thank you for taking care of my friend. But the way leading into destruction, and what our Lord is speaking of here with destruction, is aeonian destruction. That is destruction for the eons. Destruction that comes from not understanding the truth, from not even loving the truth. That way is spacious. It's spacious. It's broad. It's a giant gate with lights and music and cameras and pomp and circumstance and popularity. And yet this is the way leading to destruction. It doesn't appear to be. This is counterintuitive. This is why I'm encouraging you to change your view on this, because your opinion of numbers is the opposite of what will lead you to truth. It's the opposite. Look, I'm taking up the whole screen now, and I'm talking to you because I love you. I don't even know you, but you're a human being. You're a friend of my friend. Therefore, you're my friend. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, numbers, many are those entering into it. Millions, in fact, millions are going along the way of aeonian destruction. These people are eventually saved because Jesus died for the sins of the world, but there are millions and millions of people. And so you're encouraging your friend to watch videos made by people going to destruction? They have many, many views. They have many, many subscribers. They're popular. So chances are they're going to destruction. In fact, if I ever had a video that got 1 million views, I would wonder, what did I do wrong in that video? How did I pamper humanity in that video? How did I perhaps make people feel good about themselves at the expense of truth? Now, I'm not saying the truth won't make you feel good about yourself, but it'll be a feeling that comes from a celebration of God, of who he is, of who Christ is. We want to know God, I would think. This is the key. This is why the Bible was written, to know God. This is not a recipe booklet for right behavior. This is not a go-to book for how to be the best person you can be and make every day a Friday. That's not what this book was written for. It was written as a revelation of God's character, of a revelation of God's work throughout the eons. This is what everyone should want to know. Who is God? I'm telling you, aid to my friend, to enter through the cramped gate. Jesus goes on to say in verse 14 of Matthew 7, what a cramped gate and narrow way is the gate leading into life. And few are those finding it. Few are finding the way into life, and many are finding the way to destruction. What are you doing? You're looking, not on purpose, but you're looking for the people going toward destruction because you're looking for the many. What you should be doing, and what I'm encouraging you to do in widescreen here, is to look toward the few, because it is the few who are finding life. These aren't my words. These are the words of Jesus Christ. It's a cramped gate. It's a narrow way. It's not attached with good lighting. It's not. It doesn't boast what humans would find appealing or attractive. No one found Jesus Christ in his day appealing or attractive. God purposely made him ugly, Jesus Christ. I've often called Jesus Christ an ugly Jew, and I'm not about to stop now. God purposely did that so that you would have to look underneath his cramped lifestyle. The man didn't even have a place to lay his head. He was a vagabond. He lived in other people's houses. He went to Mary's house, then he'd go to Peter's house, and he would do this. He was not a man of wealth. In fact, he came to Jerusalem on a donkey, and it was a little donkey. It was a stupid little donkey. The king of the world is coming to Jerusalem in his humiliation on a donkey. I believe you would scroll right past that video. You don't want to listen to anybody coming to town on a donkey. Morgan, get past that video. Oh, here's somebody being paraded through the streets in a limousine with a ticker tape parade in New York City. That's the guy you want to listen to, Morgan. What are you trying to do? Lead your friend towards the path of destruction? That's what you're doing. You want to see the path of destruction? Go to YouTube and watch the 1938 Nazi Nuremberg rally. Yes, you will see lots of people there. They must be right because there's lots of them. Watch the 1939 youth rally, Hitler youth rally, or the 1940 video showing Hitler returning to Germany from France. Watch these videos. Look at the millions of people. Heil Hitler, Heil Hitler. Oh, they must be right. They must be right. There's a lot of them. And then look at Jesus and his 12 disciples, not 12 million, 12. Not 12 million, 12. His 12 disciples hanging out by a campfire. But you, as your present way of thinking, if you had been in Jesus' day, if you would take your YouTube mega view mentality back to the first century, you would despise the ragtag fugitive fleet that was Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples. You would say to your friend Morgan, Morgan would be following Christ, and you would say to him, based on your current mentality, your current way of looking at things, why are you following a man who is so unpopular, who has only 12 intimate friends? You need to go to the temple. That's where all the people agree that God lives. All the people agree, Morgan. Look, Caiaphas has 10 million views on YouTube. If Jesus had a YouTube channel, he would have crappy views like me. Yes, he would. And so would Paul. And so would all the prophets, because they were crappy little people with crappy little websites with crappy little view counts. And yet, historically, you will find the truth in these small camps. Jesus says this again in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Listen to this. saying to his disciples, to his small band of merry men, do not fear, little flocklet. Little flocklet. A flocklet is a tiny group of sheep, maybe three or four. A tiny flocklet is even more minuscule. It's even more embarrassing. It's even more, oh God, why? Don't you think some days I would love for this truth to go worldwide? Then I could be known as Mr. Worldwide, and I could take this gospel all over the world. No, instead, it is what it is. The Apostle Paul died alone in a prison. All his, even his friends left him. Jesus Christ at the cross, the most epic event in the world, in universal history, was attended by John, by his mother Mary, by a few weeping women, but mostly by laughing guards and mocking priests. Yes, priests from the temple where you would send Morgan if you had lived in the first century. You're making a serious mistake. And I'm hoping by directly talking to you and having my entire viewership of a few hundred people listening, I am telling you that you can change your course. I encourage you to change your course. I encourage you to think differently about this. Let me then tell you what Jesus says next concerning the little flocklet. Do not fear, little flocklet, for it delights your Father to give you the kingdom. What? To give you the kingdom. He's giving the kingdom. What's the kingdom he's talking about here? The 1,000 years of peace on earth, where Israel rules the world. And there are only a select few in that kingdom who will be administrating that kingdom. And these include losers, such as Peter, James, and John, who had lousy websites and YouTube channels that were laughable and embarrassing in their day. And yet these men are the future rulers of the world. That's how God works.